Hello and welcome to the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 6th of May 2012. My name's TRP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Phil from West End Whingers, Gareth James. Now I'm going to talk about South Downs and the Browning version. This is a double bill played as part of Chichester Festival Theatre's 2011 celebration. I think celebration of Terence Reckon's 100th birthday. Normally the Browning version is paired with a farce called Harlequinade, I think it is, and which is, I believe, all about the, well, it's a thinly veiled thing of the Lunts. But Chichester Festival decided to commission a new play by David Hare called South Downs. Like the Browning version, South Downs is set in an English public school, but it's not quite as I mean it's rather nasty said. I found it a perfectly decent play. It's set in Lancing College, and you have a rather bright young pupil played here by Alex Lawther, who's sort of cut off from his own school and his schoolmates and his friends, and doesn't really fit in. And it's kind of his efforts to fit in and his ability to... It's really a sort of a story of him beginning to fit in to the school, and they use... it's, of course, cross-cast, or largely cross-cast, with the Browning version. As I say, it's a perfectly good play, I thought, but I didn't think it was sort of biting, especially when you come back after the interval and you get the Browning version. And I've always thought this a rather dull thing, because I think I've seen television versions and film versions and never really paid them any attention. But I found this absolutely cracking. It's a really, really good play, I thought. We have Nicholas Farrell playing Crocker Harris, who is a teacher facing retirement, or sort of a kind of a forced retirement, and or retiring early because he's a bit ill and having to go and work in what would now be called a crammer. And his unfaithful wife, played by Anna Chancellor. Phil, what did you think about this double bill?
Well, again, like you, extremely impressed, particularly by the Browning version. But just going back to South Downs, actually, I think I was much more impressed by that than you were. What I didn't expect from South Downs was it to be so entertaining. It's really quite funny. There's a lot of good lines in it, and it's brilliantly played. There's a boy in it called Alex Lawther, or a man, because he's doing every performance. And I thought, my God, because he seems so young, he does seem like a 14-year-old schoolboy. I thought, oh, I feel sorry for the people who will be seeing the alternative on other nights, but he's doing every show because he must be about 17, I guess, 16 or 17, so he's old enough to do the whole run. And he holds it together, and you sort of have to see him to see how he does it, because he's so... It's not just that he's poised, but he's just completely convincing, and he has there's some very funny lines which he delivers very deadpan. And the sort of he's written a letter to the Daily Express about CND, and he's sort of in trouble for it. And he's a bit sort of friendless, because he's a bit overbright, really. And he asks very inquisitive questions in class, which much to the irritation of schoolmasters. And he does this so well. You really do feel for him. And then he sort of meets this the mother of one of the other schoolboys, who's, as you say, Anna Chancellor, playing this rather glamorous actress. And he finds some sort of solace. And it's sort of an act of kindness, which again reflects with the compliments the second play, the Browning version. And what I found when I was watching the Browning version, which, as I agree with you, it's really brilliantly done. Nicholas Farrell is fantastic in it. In fact, they're all good in it, but he's particularly incredible, and you just think Olivier Award is going to come your way for this. I'd be very surprised if he didn't win it. It's moving. It's also quite funny. And I think, although I had seen it before, years ago, with Paul Eddington and Dorothy Chewton, I saw it on the double bill with Harlequinade, which I thought was pretty awful. So I think pairing it with South Downs is a sort of stroke of genius, in a sense. And in a way, South Downs also becomes better when you've seen the Browning version, because you see the themes that run through the two. And I don't know whether I was reading too much into it, but there was a... in the in the Brown version, Anna Chancellor's character, Millie Crocker Harris, says that she met her husband when she was staying at her uncle's. And I don't know if this is just coincidence, but in the first play in the South Downs, the play that she's appearing in is called Uncle Says No, which I thought was a very funny title. So, yeah, it's an absolute must-see, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I may not have been fair. I have a slight downer on David Hare, I think, and so always looking to it. But it was it is a very good play, and as you say, Alex Lawther is very impressive in it. I have a bit of a problem with David Hare, but if I liked it, it probably means it's very good on that.
Well, I thought I had a problem with David Hare, but then I was sort of thinking about things I'd said, quite a few plays that I'd seen by him over the years, and thought, well, actually, I did quite like that, and I did quite like that, although I didn't like other ones. But it's quite a conventional play, in a sense. But I think it's quite a tough task to say, you know, write a complimentary piece to the Browning version, when the Browning version is such a good play. I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, I certainly think it stands up, and I'm curious. I have to say, I haven't seen Harlequinade before, so I'm curious about it. But I don't think it would have been. But from what I hear about it, it isn't very good, and people would be, you know, rather upset. It would have been a lot worse if I'd had to see it, I think.
Well, what's nice about this is South Downs is it sort of warms you up for the Browning version, Harlequinade didn't. I think if you saw Harlequinade on a double bill and you were like us and often left at the interval, you might think, oh my God, I can't stand anymore. But, you know, it would be silly to do that because the Browning version is I think it's one of the best things Rattigan's written. It works so well in just over an hour. There's so many revelations that keep the plot moving along whilst being moving, and the resolve of the play, without giving anything away, is very clever as well. I think it's very satisfying.
We're now going to talk about The Sunshine Boys by Neil Simon, which has just opened at the Savoy Theatre, or is just in previews at the Savoy Theatre, and we saw previews, of course. This stars Danny DeVito and Richard Griffiths in a play which I know best from the film made of it. I kind of like this play. It's about about one member of a double act. They've split up 10-11 years ago, and they are persuaded to get back together for one final. It's a sort of a retrospective of the history of comedy, and they're going to do one of their classic sketches together. And everything that was wrong and made them split up sort of comes back to the surface and is revitalized. It's a funny play. It's an entertaining play, and to a certain extent, it's a star vehicle for Danny DeVito. I think that I don't think it changed anything, but it's just because it concentrates on him so much. It's largely set in his sort of rather dour hotel room, which used to be a full suite and is now cut down, apparently. And it concentrates on him. So, you know, Richard Griffiths, although he's sort of co up there with him on the cast list and sort of put next to each other, he's really fairly subsidiary in this, and although he does get, you know, a rather lot of very good lines in this, and it's rather fun. This is an interesting play. It's a fun play. I think that the first half isn't quite as good as the second. It needs a bit of a zing. It needs a bit of pep to it. I hope it will get the pep to it. I've seen one or two other preview people have been to the previews and said it needs, you know, it still needs that bit of work. There's certainly plenty of talent on tour. There's a very nice piece from a nurse in the second act, and it just didn't quite get there, didn't quite impress me. I was very pleased to have seen it, though. Phil, what did you think about this?
I didn't think it got there at all. I don't know if it was because it was a preview, and it was a relatively early preview, but I found the first act quite interminable. I don't know if they're allowed to make cuts, but they need to. It was sluggish. I wasn't laughing. It started off quite promisingly with DeVito on his own in this sort of hotel apartment, fiddling with the telly and doing a bit of, shtick. And it seemed quite promising. And I thought it will warm up when Richard Griffiths comes on, which he didn't until about half an hour into the play, because then you're going to get the sort of antagonism between the two. I didn't really think Richard Griffiths was possibly miscast, unless something happens and they find some sort of chemistry between them. People were laughing. Some were laughing very loudly around us, but a lot of people weren't. I agree with you, the second act is better. When we get to see their act, I have to say, I didn't think it was particularly funny, but maybe that was partly the point, that the act is out of date. But
it is very, very old-fashioned.
Yeah, but I saw, it's funny, I saw Sugar Babies. There's quite a... was it called Sugar Babies? Yeah, there was quite a lot about it in the programme with Mickey Rooney and Ann Miller at the same theatre years ago, back in the late 80s, I think. And that was old sort of vaudeville routines, and that was hilarious, absolutely brilliant. So that kind of thing is really my kind of thing, and it wasn't working for me. But I do agree with you about the woman, Johnny Fiore, who plays the nurse, which she has a scene with Danny DeVito immediately after we get to see the Sunshine Boys stage act. And he's in a bed, he's got a nurse. The scene between them was the highlight of the play for me. That scene did make me laugh. She's a sassy nurse. She gives as good as she gets to this curmudgeonly old DeVito character. And I thought he was at his best in that scene as well. He played it really, really well. It was almost worth seeing for that scene alone. But on the whole, I just didn't find it very amusing. And I think it was perhaps the play for me.
Yeah, it is an odd choice. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it revived that often, but you don't always get a lot of Neil Simon in. Although it has to be said, this week we have had... I went to see two Neil Simon plays, because I also caught Barefoot in the Park at the Richmond Theatre, which is currently on tour. It's got Maureen Lipman, Faye Castello, and Dominic Tye in it. And that was much, much better. It's possibly a slighter piece. It's much more of a fun comedy rather than... The Sunshine Boys has rather more serious elements to it. But it was really quite a lot better, considering that you have a sort of an English cast and you don't with that one. And a very much, you've got at least got an American star in this. I see what you mean about Richard Griffiths. To a certain extent, remembering the film, there wasn't an awful lot of chemistry really between Walter Matthau and George Burns in the film, if I remember it rightly. I mean, if you're looking at it critically, so perhaps it is the play that's at fault in The Sunshine Boys. And it's a pity, really. I'm hoping it gets better because it is a treat to see Danny DeVito on stage, and if they could really do well out of it, it would be well worth seeing. As you say, it isn't really there, and perhaps the play won't allow it to be there.
I think the problem is the play for me anyway. Although that didn't stop, I think they were largely Americans laughing. Maybe it's this sort of crossing the Atlantic thing. I didn't like Prisoner of Second Avenue very much when they did that a couple of years ago with Jeff Goldblum. I had the same problems with this as a piece. I found bits of it quite repetitive, actually, some of the gags. There's the constant thing about him poking him, and I just thought, oh, cut some of that. It's just seeming a bit tired. And I do think, I think it probably will do quite well because of DeVito. And you do get a lot of him for your money. I mean, his part is massive, massive part, much larger than Griffith's. And I think he's pretty there with his stuff. I believe there was a prompt, but I didn't notice that. He's working the material, I think, as well as he can. And again, that scene with him and the nurse, the real nurse, because there is also the comedy nurse, the buxom nurse in the sketch. That scene with the nurse was the highlight for me. And but you know, that's quite one small scene in quite what seemed quite a long evening.
We're now going to talk about Love, Love, Love at the Royal Court. This is Payne's Plough's production of Mike Bartlett's play, which has been going around since October 2010 to great acclaim, touring around the country. And it's a bit of a sore spot for me, because Payne's Plough actually deliberately did this and said that they wouldn't be going into London for 2 years with their productions, and this was the, to a certain extent, the first victim of it. It didn't go in until hasn't come in until now, when it probably could have come into London with its original cast, which included Daniela Dembiash and John Heffernan, who is a great favourite with a lot of Twitter people with mine. Anyway, the plot here is it's set over three evenings or three days, set over 40 years, or actually 44 years, and it is it starts in 1967 on the evening of a large-scale broadcast. I can't remember what it was called, but basically it's a worldwide broadcast in which the Beatles sang Love, Love, Love live. And then it's set in 1990, where the couple who get together in 1967 are having troubles with their teenage children and with their own marriage. And finally we get to 2011 in this play, in this production, where we have the couple have divorced, and the children have had problems. That does sound rather a sweeping way of doing this. It's a really good play, this, I thought, and I think in some ways the first act could almost be a one act play by itself. Now this is we have as the main in this play that we have as the main people Kenneth and Sandra, who are the sort of the married couple that we follow, are played by Ben Miles and Victoria Hamilton. We have a very short piece by very short appearance by Sam Troughton as an almost he reminded me of one of the brothers from the Harold Pinter's The Caretaker. Henry, he plays Kenneth's brother, and you also have George Rainsford and Claire Foy. It strikes me that actually this is a much more West End friendly cast. You know, you can pretty much on at least two or three of those you can easily pinpoint, you know, what they've been in on telly, so that you can sell that more easily in the West End. But I think this might have life, and this might well go into the West End at some point. It's a very nice production. I saw it in Watford last year with the sort of the second cast on the second tour that they did. It stands up very well, this play. They've gone for people, their main two people, instead of being in their mid to late 20s, which I think was in the first two tours, they've gone for a couple in Ben Miles and Victoria Hamilton who are about the same age as what they would be in 1990. So it's around about that time. Now, what do you think about this production, this play? Have you seen it before, Gareth?
Yeah, I saw it on tour probably around the same time as you did, but in Northampton. So I saw it in the middle of last year. So I saw the second touring cast, not the first as well. And I enjoyed it immensely. I mean, I went to Northampton to see it. I have to say it was a different experience in the Royal Court on a Friday than it was in Northampton on a Wednesday matinee, in a very empty theatre, mostly with pensioners. So the atmosphere was rather different on Friday night. I think the new cast is outstanding. There is also a new design. It's the same director, but a new design and a new cast. I think I'm ambivalent about the design. I think the design was good on both occasions, but the new cast, I think, frankly, are very much better, particularly the two lead roles, Victoria Hamilton and Ben Miles, and also Claire Foy, who plays the daughter. I at the end of the first act, where Ben Miles is playing 19, I actually sort of went into Wikipedia on my phone to find out how old he really is, and I was astonished to find he was 45. And I thought, for a 45-year-old, boy, did he make a convincing 19-year-old. And clearly, as you say, what they've done is they've cast all of the roles for the middle act, so they have to act younger in the first act and older in the second act. Sorry, in the third act. I think it's a terrific play, and if it doesn't follow Posh and Jumpy to the West End, I'll be very surprised. Victoria Hamilton is just a revelation for me. I haven't seen much of her, but I think she's just simply wonderful in this. I think that, I mean, the premise of the play really is, without sort of giving it away, I hope, is that the baby boomers have kind of climbed the ladder and then kicked the ladder away. And I think that's a little bit unfair, really. I don't actually agree with this premise, because all of my baby boomer friends with children are actually doing the opposite. They're sort of, you know, they're funding their children well into their 30s and helping them buy houses. And you know, so the premise that they've kind of, you know, they're just spending the money, I think is a bit unfair. Really, but having said that, I think it does generate a really interesting debate about how times have changed over that period of time, and I think it's just a terrific night out.
Yeah, it's I didn't really get that in the first time I saw it. I didn't really get that idea that they'd kicked it either way, but it was much, I think it's slightly clearer in this one, or I wasn't paying attention the first time. And I couldn't quite get my sympathies. I mean, I think in the first time I saw it, my sympathies were more with the children who had been left behind, and slightly more with the adults this time. But as you say, it's not quite true to life, is it? Because I mean, you don't get you have to get a dysfunctional family, really, to in order for there to be drama. I think if they're just nice and kind and generous in the end, helping their children up, then it's not quite drama. These are, you know, essentially a couple of rather selfish people, which is what makes it a good play, I think. But I don't think it's necessarily that realistic, as you say.
I think what makes it a good play is a bit like Oliana, I think. What makes it a good play is that two people can leave the theatre with a completely different view, having seen something different. And I think that depends on your disposition, your age, and your attitudes and all sorts of things. But I actually think it's possible to come out of the theatre, you know, being really sympathetic with those two kids and thinking the parents are dreadful, or to come out of the theatre thinking, you know, God, these parents, poor old souls, or indeed to you know, other stances as well. And to me, that's what makes a great play, because it presents the fact, and as you say, it takes a sort of dysfunctional family to make it drama, but then it does make you think. And I think, you know, and you do come away with different views. And I remember from Oliana coming out of theatre with a friend of mine, and she'd seen a different play, and I didn't see it with anyone else on this occasion, but I wonder whether people did come out of the theatre, I suspect they did, seeing it differently, which to me is, you know, it's great theatre, really.
Yeah, it certainly shows that. I mean, you know, Mike Bartlett is always worth watching as a playwright. I mean, even if his much more large scale plays haven't really quite worked. What was it? 13. Was it 13 and the Earthquakes in London? Yeah. Which didn't quite work quite as well. I was reminded, actually, that one of the plays I'd quite like to see redone is Cock, which I believe is just about to open on Broadway. And I might be tempted, I know one or two people in New York, and I might be tempted to get them to review it for me, but we'll have to see.
I think this and Cock are his two best plays. I actually wasn't as down on Earthquakes as a lot of people were. But I think this and Cock are undoubtedly his best plays. What will be interesting now is his next project, of course, is an adaptation rather than an original play, because he's adapting Chariots of Fire at Hampstead and then moving it into the West End. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with somebody else's material.
You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page and in Facebook. On the web, we are ayu-londontheatre.org, and the podcast can also be found on iTunes, where you can leave a review. Thank you. Goodbye.